This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Decides to make another supersized move, a giant rate increase to try to tame inflation. Hey, hey, everybody. This is where we're at. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us as always. So fourth time, if you're counting, in 2022. Boy, when we swung in as a nation together to 2022, and we're celebrating the beginning of the year. Did we think we were going to have half of the things happen that happened? No, including the leftover surprise of Omicron. But then all of this, when it comes to what's going on with the pandemic and the raising of the rates, there were whispers about that, and then it went full force that this is going to happen. So the Federal Reserve continued their quest of these rapid interest rate increases, pushing up borrowing costs at the fastest pace that we've seen in decades. And this whole idea is we're doing this to push back on inflation, get it under control. So it was a unanimous vote. Of course, it was going to be that at their July meeting for the second time, for their second supersized rate increase in a row, a third quarter point move. And you say, well, what does that mean? It's another large adjustment, right, that could be coming our way in September, by the way. So that means that you look at borrowing money to buy a house, to expand a business, credit cards, all of that are affected by that rate increase. That's how it hits you. But then, of course, we're already stressed and stretched. What the bounce back to that is, well, we need to slow growth. We need to slow growth. And if we need to do that, we need price stability. We need the whole economy to work. So this is why we have to do this. This is why we have to do this. But boy, you tell that to people who were in the market and are stuck in between for on some of these things. And it's bad timing, right? But inflation is sky high. And the central bank says we're determined to crush it. So interest rates are going to increase this year. They're going to continue to further hit those increases. Bad time for people in the real estate market. We see that certainly in commercial real estate also, because a lot of companies are still not going back to work, or they're not having those big commercial buildings. They're not filling them up. You see a lot of abandoned buildings where you see just hundreds of parking spots and there's no cars in them. I've seen that a bunch lately, and you figure it out. You know what it is, because people aren't there. And part of that is also saving money too. If they can get give backs on not renting the property, not renting the commercial real estate. So all that affects real estate, but it affects you in any borrowing capacity for sure. And the Feds began raising interest rates from near zero in March, and they've picked up that pace pretty fast, and the price increases are accelerating, of course, on all of us, as we see when we go to the store, at an alarming rate. You see it when you go out to eat, because, of course, it has to be passed on to you. You see it when you go to the grocery store. When you get eggs or milk or produce or whatever it is that you're eating, I don't have to tell you, you know it. It's like sticker shock times 10. And when I went to the supermarket the other day, because I think so many people were complaining, when I got up to the front of the line, the cashier, because, yeah, I don't like that. You know, where you do the self-service? And people are screaming in self-service because the thing has to get weighed, they can't weigh the fruit, and then the line is backed up like we're on Christmas Eve waiting to get last-minute presents. So I like that human contact when I go through. And immediately, do you have any coupons? I mean, look, here they were handing me something. Look this up online. Here's some other ways to save money, because I think people were complaining so much about what the prices were. They were doing anything to tamp down complaints as people were getting their final totals going through at the end of it. So this is hitting all of us. This is what this show is about. That what happens to your backyard has happened in my backyard. It just depends on where you live, maybe how bad it is. And what are you doing to tame that in your own home? You know, are you coming up with clever ways to fight back on all of that? What's the path of least resistance? And it's pretty tough to find that path, I think. So it's taking a toll on borrowers. There's no question about that. If that's the game that you're in, and if you happen to fall into this particular zone, right, where you were looking to do this, or you were looking to do that, or your car died, or this happened, you're caught right in the middle of this. Consumer prices climbed by 9.1% in the year through June, though. So costs are picking up quickly on everything from food to fuel to rent to dry cleaning to any kind of goods and services that you can possibly think about. The good news, fuel has really dipped. It's so much so that you notice it. I mean, I don't care where you're listening to me. If you're in a rural area, suburban area, city, wherever, it has dropped a little bit for sure. You absolutely can see it. I mean, I feel you in California, because it is so expensive to fill up in California. But even in California, it has certainly come down. So that's one good thing. 9.1% is shocking. So this is what the Fed is saying. This is what we got to do. We got to do something about inflation. We got to solve it. We got to do it. Look, people are nervous about the whole idea of a recession. And that's part of this, is pushing back on a recession. What do we do? Right? And the increase came on a day when the Democrats thought they were going to have an agreement in the Senate on a bill to push down the price of prescription drugs and low emission electricity, and also reducing the federal deficit, right? That whatever they have to do to push back on this, you have workers that want higher wages because they can't meet what the bills are, and companies are passing on costs and expenses. So inflation is becoming, unfortunately, a permanent fixture of our lives right now. You have to go back a ways to really think about that kind of a conversation. You got to go back to the hey 80s in the beginning, right? And of course, it's not just in the United States, but if we look at what's happening with us, the housing market is cooling, high mortgage rates. So if you're a would-be buyer, that would certainly discourage you. What about if you're building new homes, right? Have you seen any homes in your neighborhood where they were building and then suddenly the building has stopped? I've seen that for sure, right? You know, Walmart is even saying, because that's where people go to get the cheapest prices they can get, that inflation is pressuring consumers to buy fewer goods. Ooh, it is tight, my friends. Mic drop moment coming up next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn what more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Sunday morning, and you decide, I want to go fish. And you go and fish. You take your son out. You decide, yep, we're out there with everybody else in Plymouth. And we're out at Manomet Point. And there's other people out fishing. You see lots of boats. And we're pretty close to the shore. But, you know, we can see the shore. But we've got our lines down. And then all of a sudden, here we are. We're enjoying the father-son time, right? And all of a sudden, this is 10 o'clock in the morning, a whale breaches and smashes in to the bow of your 19-foot boat, causing it to dip in the water.
Mic drop.
That's a mic drop moment. Can you believe it? You're on your boat, and all of a sudden it's just, you know, hanging 10 in the morning, real quiet, calm water, and then boom, this whale comes up and slaps the front of your boat. If you have not seen this video, whatever your search engine, look it up. It is astonishing to see it. I mean, it's been kind of all over the place the last couple of days, I think. But, and it was captured on video, which is really rare. So, of course, it's viral. There were a number of boaters that were tracking fish in that area. So the whale must have been there, too, trying to feed. And there were bait fish that were jumping, I guess, in front of the boat a few seconds before the whale started breaching. And that was kind of the lucky thing, though, because the son on the boat was taking video of it because he thought that was cool, while the dad was worrying about the fishing and had the fishing gear out, and he happened to hit it at the right time. He happened to get that video at the right time. Just crazy to see it. I think it would I can't even imagine how scary it would be, but then how cool it would be afterwards, because the whale is enormous, of course, and this boat is so tiny. It was so tiny. So lots of people, of course, happened to be around, like I said, and happened to see that happen. They just, you know, looked at the right time. And it made me think of this. I'll tell you an interesting personal story. I was in, and thank goodness we did this, because my mother, God rest her soul, we lost her like, you know, 9 years ago. And we went to Hawaii. The Hubs and I decided, hey, we're going to figure out a way to scrape this money together so we can do a family thing with them. And we went to Hawaii, and he wanted to go kayaking, and the kayaking was in the morning, and it was that you were going to go to this turtle area, and you were going to be able to probably see whales off in the distance. And there were only a couple of us. There was just he and I, and there's this older couple from the Midwest, super nice people, that were crushing us, by the way, kayaking, and they had replaced hips and knees, and we were 30 years younger than them, and they killed us. But and then the guide. And what happened was, we were so far behind them, a whale went under our kayak, and it was cool and frightening at the same time. I'm on a piece of plastic in the middle of Lahaina, so I can only imagine. I think it's cool that the sun just was happened to be having his video on and got that and didn't like freak and just steady held it steady while that happened. Because when the whale went under our boat, I was like, oh, I just thought it was really freaky. All I could see was this turquoise that came up underneath us, and we were fine. But it was a wild, wild experience. And of course, that's not breaching and hitting us. But it was wild to see that, and it kind of reminded me of it. So it is definitely a proper mic drop moment. It is to their credit that Leo and Gassner, that's his name, the son, just kept on doing his thing. And Dad, Justin, just stood there next to him, aghast, watching as this boom happened, because it happened, you know, instantaneously. You're watching that happen in real time really quickly. A breach happens quickly, and it's not in slow motion, and you don't have time to wait and watch. I mean, it would be incredibly shocking. I thought you needed to hear that, because we need to hear funny things that people survive from and that are so surprising, and that definitely, definitely, definitely hit the mark. Another thing that didn't hit the mark, but now has happened, the strangest thing, I guess I shouldn't say strangest thing, but there was the reports that Tony Dow had died the other day, and he was the brother on Leave It to Beaver at 77. But then there was a reversal all over the place that he hadn't died, because it was premature. He was still alive. His wife put something out like, no, he's still alive. I mean, he was obviously slipping away. But it is officially confirmed that he died on Wednesday, and he, was a father, and he had that lifelong connection to an iconic piece of history by being a big part of Leave It to Beaver, because that show, even in reruns, was popular, and I guess he had an unspecified type of cancer. He was diagnosed with that, and that's what happened. But you see that this is a guy, if you look at his background, and he, not only that moment in Leave It to Beaver, but as the big brother, but he had a career as an actor and a director for decades in Hollywood, and was, I guess, a pretty well-liked guy. He was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and he was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Crusade and Babylon 5. So there were other things that Tony Dow did in his life. But once you get in a role that people just constantly remember you for, that was the thing, I think, that that people remember him for is that one role. So rip Tony Dow officially at the age of 77. A couple of other quick hits for you. And coming up here on the show, we have Richard Wiener, who we're going to talk to. And he's got such an interesting story to tell. Wait till you hear his story. And a few other things, too, as well, including odds and ends. But a couple of things that that I haven't mentioned. I'm so shocked I haven't talked about Shark Week, because there's like competing Shark Weeks now. You have Shark Fest and Shark Week. On Nat Geo, it's Shark Fest. And on Discovery, it is Shark Week. So with all these sharks and these things that are happening, you wonder that more people are not deciding, like the iconic movie Jaws, to just kind of hang out on the beach. But no, people, with the heat waves especially, they're going in the water. But they're every time these shark shows come up, it's interesting to me to find out some new bizarre fact that you didn't know about sharks. And then the people who get attacked by sharks, who talk about their stories, and the ones that survived, who talk about how they still go in the sea, they understand the sharks better, and it doesn't chase them away. And it's like that old thing about getting back on the horse. But getting back on the horse, I still think, is a little different than getting back in the water, where you could have lost your life because a great white mistaked you for a seal, which in many cases apparently is what happens, because you're on a paddleboard paddling out wherever it is, New Smyrna Beach in Florida, or someplace else where on either coast in the U.S., we'll say, because we could certainly talk about Australia, which is a hunting ground for great whites. But that's the most interesting takeaway I have, is that all these personal stories, there isn't this bitterness of hating sharks and if, and you can see that that they're clearly talking and saying what they really think. And the idea is they're not anti-shark. They just come to grips with what happened, and that they were in their territory and something turned in the wrong direction. And we'll end on this one. When you get Sprite in the future, it's not going to be in a green bottle anymore. It's going to be white to help the environment. That's what the company says. Meet you on the flip side.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The Secretary of State said the Biden administration has made a substantial offer to Russia to facilitate the release of WNBA star Brittney Griner and corporate executive Paul Whelan.
We put a substantial proposal on the table weeks ago to facilitate their release. I can't and won't get into any of the details of what we've proposed to the Russians over the course of so many weeks now. The president is prepared to make tough decisions if it means the safe return of Americans.
Blinken stated that it will be the first time he has spoken with his Russian counterpart since the war in Ukraine erupted in February. Nearly 800,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine will soon be available for distribution. That's according to U.S. health regulators. This is USA Radio News. Two former Minneapolis police officers who were found guilty on federal charges of violating the civil rights of George Floyd was sentenced to prison. A judge sentenced one to 3 years and another to 3 years and a half for their role in Floyd's 2020 death. Alabama will be carrying out an execution.
Alabama remains on schedule to carry out the execution of a death row inmate Thursday night. Joe James Jr. is set to be put to death by lethal injection. This comes after a federal judge turned down a request for a stay of execution last week. James was convicted of shooting to death his former girlfriend, Faith Hall, back in 1994. The victim's family is asking he not be executed. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Around a bit here in this segment and talk about chips and semiconductor chips specifically, obviously, and the shortage and what it's meant, cars, and then so many other components of computers, which is one of the things that happened during the pandemic that affected business, right? So the Senate passes this bipartisan bill on Wednesday that would give $52 billion in subsidies to domestic semiconductor manufacturers. Good news, right? Thumbs up. Made in America and all that other stuff, too, by the way, and invest billions in science and tech innovation to try to strengthen the U.S.'s competitiveness and self-reliance in the industry, which is huge, the chip industry. And we realized that when we went through the beginning parts, especially of the pandemic. So it was a 64-33 vote in the Senate, and they passed what they called the $280 billion Chips and Science Act, and then whittled it down to the final touches, the iteration of the bill that took for years. And it took for years. They were talking about this for such a long time. So $52 billion, that's why Chips and Science Act, get it? $52 billion, like I said, goes into microchip manufacturers to incentivize construction of domestic semiconductor fabrication plants. They just short fabs is what they call them, to make these chips, which are used in cars, cell phones, medical equipment, military weapons. You know, this shortage of semiconductor chips during the pandemic caused so many problems, price hikes, supply chain disruptions in lots of different industries. So it wasn't one industry across the board, and I'm just touching and scratching the surface here with what I just mentioned there. Senate Majority Leader Schumer says this is one of the most significant long-term thinking bills we've passed in a long time. You know what? I agree. I don't always agree. In fact, I don't agree with a lot of what Schumer says and how he drags his heels so often. But thumbs up on this. I mean, this is a major bipartisan achievement. It is. It should have happened a long time ago. There should have been. Here's what it is. It's not forecasting what we need, right? It's not forecasting. I had a great conversation with someone today. They work for a huge company where they're doing this thing that they have a three-day event that they call Future Hacks. And in this thing with Future Hacks, what they're doing is looking at problems. What could happen? What do we do? What are solutions? If boom, 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 boom happens, where do we see things going? How are we forecasting? Like somehow there wasn't enough of this, and we keep seeing it over and over again. So I'll throw this in because I already talked about the chips part, but the other, you'd probably say to yourself, well, what's the rest of the money used for? The $100 billion in authorizations over 5 years for programs like expanding the National Science Foundation's work, establishing regional technical hubs to support startups in areas of the country that don't get big funding for tech. So that's good for, if you're, are you listening, more rural areas, that'll be huge for you. In fact, coming up on our next show, we're going to talk about internet access to rural areas. And it's so fascinating what one company's doing and how they're reaching people and how it's making a huge, huge, huge difference. So now the bill, by the way, has to move to the House, of course, where then you think there's going to be support for it. I think it passes, no problem. And then once that passes, then that gets booted to the president. He signs it. I can't imagine. It's got to be a top priority because this is a slam dunk because it's something that we absolutely need. And then, of course, it also creates jobs, and it's right here in the United States. So we need more resilience when it comes to our supply chains. We cannot rely on foreign countries, for goodness sake, for these critical technologies. That's the problem. That is the problem. We need that to happen here. This is good. So I'm going to say this is good. And do it ASAP. Just do it. Just do it. Clear it. Let's move. Let's get the whole chip thing moving, rotating, because it's beyond necessary. Beyond necessary. In fact, I thought it was interesting what Senator Roger Wicker, Republican Mississippi, said, because he was a key Republican negotiator on the legislation, and he argued that there was no more important competition than the one for technological supremacy between the U.S. and China. And Senator Wicker, I would agree. This is the problem. They are outpacing us, crushing us when it comes to technology. They are so increasingly dominant in what they're doing, and they pose a threat certainly to our economy and to other aspects, I think, in our lives here in the United States, probably to national security too, right, when they control the chips, so to speak. So I didn't want this to get lost in things that we were talking about. This is a very big, big deal, because there hasn't been investing in companies in this aspect. That hasn't happened for a very, very long time. And, you know, this has hit a couple of snags along the way. And, of course, that happens because so many choicy parts are thrown into it, you know, whatever someone's political agenda is. So this is a good thing. For everything that I complain about, the things that we talk about, I say that what's the common denominator of what's happening in your backyard and mine? We're all affected by the whole chip thing. If you have to get a car, it's like my brother. He has to get a car. His car died. And you are at the mercy of, you're going to pay more for cars. Do you know anyone selling a car? It's ridiculous. And trying to get a used car, et cetera. And then the whole chip thing of waiting for cars, right? Facebook decided not to wait. This is kind of a shocker. Facebook, aka Meta, they had their first quarterly revenue decline in a decade, right? And it's interesting because they are a behemoth. They said they earned $28.8 billion during the second quarter of 2022. So that's almost a one, not quite, but it's almost a 1% drop from what it earned during the same time period last year. And you say, well, who cares? I don't care. Well, it's interesting because it's part of the culture. So, of course, we're talking about it. The revenue number was lower than the $28.9 billion Wall Street analysts were predicting. So this illustrates the financial challenges that this social media, I'm going to use the word again, behemoth, is grappling with the challenges and the threats to their business model.
And, I mean, they've even kind of warned in a statement that they expect marketers to spend less money on advertising because of the economy, because of the concerns about the economy. So what are they going to do in return? I would think there are going to be people that leave Facebook. I think there might be slashing of jobs or people that will be asked if they would rather not work there. Hey, if you were thinking of leaving, this would be a good time. So they did say that they plan to reduce their expenses for the year to $85 to $88 billion, down from the outlook of $87 to $92 billion. And if you think of billion and you think of what I just said, that is actually quite a lot of money. So that means they're going to slow hiring as they come out of this pandemic. They're reducing that. They have to be doing that. They're facing some serious challenges, but it's not over for them, right? They still have these active users. People, I think we're creatures of habit. So even if you hate, some of my friends call it Fakebook. A lot of my family, they can't stand Facebook. They're not even on it. And I know that, I mean, lots of people are on it, aren't on it, whatever. But you reach a lot of people that way, right? So their core social network rose 3% to 1.97 billion in the second quarter. Monthly users, 2.93 billion. So it is about the people. It is about getting the people. It's also about the metaverse, right? We keep hearing metaverse. It's the virtual reality powered devices. And are people going to want to work, play, and shop in a digital realm? I can tell you that I got one for a Christmas present, and it's off again, on again. So if it's plugged in and if it's strictly exercise related, but I have to constantly reset and remember how to do this, I think very few people are 100% in. They're hoping that people go 100% in, that this becomes a thing for you, like going to a gym or going to a movie or going to a whatever your passion deal is. Do we want to really hang out in digital realms? And I don't know that 100% you can say yes to that question. It is interesting and it is fun when you go someplace, right? And you've probably done it and you go into that whole virtual reality world. But how often do you want to do that, blur the lines of virtual reality and the reality of your life? Now, given that still people aren't going back to the office and people are coming up with new ways to do things, maybe the banking on that really makes sense. I don't know. I know that it's kind of a mixed bag. When I did an unofficial poll, it was sort of, you know, 60-40, meaning 60% like, no, forget about it. It's fun to do it once in a while, but I don't see myself doing that all the time. And that being like a life choice to live it out there. But we're seeing more movies are portraying that. So, you know, what happens through the different generations, because the younger generations, do they embrace that more? You know, that's the other part of that. It is an intriguing thing to look at. How much do you really want to play in virtual reality? Because that's what metaverse is banking on. And I can say there are really cool things about it. The easier it is to work, the easier it is to expand what they're doing there and make it user friendly. I think the more they'll attract people to hanging out more in a meta universe. I mean, that makes complete sense to me. So it's interesting, you know, talking about chips and talking about technology and the news of what happened on the Hill, and then Facebook getting bad news, but then really talking about the future and looking at what they're doing as far as virtual reality is concerned. And that's definitely where they're headed. And they still have a ton of users, which I mentioned here in this segment. All right, stay with us as we head for the exits and close on a big note next.
Do you have the
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us. His book is called Survivor's Odyssey, From Oppression to Reconciliation. It's such an important book, and I'll tell you right from the start, he says it too, it's not just another Holocaust book. Richard, what do you mean by that? What was the motivation for writing this book?
The motivation was to tell my whole story, which originates in Nazi Germany. I was a Jewish child in a school of Hitler Youth, the only Jew in the school. And, of course, when the Nazis came to power, I was about 6 years old. And from there on, things got, as you probably know from history, got worse and worse for Jews in the small city, Wittenberg, which is a famous World Heritage Site. It's a the place where Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation. It's a small town. Everybody knew the few Jews that lived there. What happened, I went through Kristallnacht. My father was arrested. Our home was destroyed before our eyes. I had an axe swung over my head when I was 11 years old. And we had to leave or be killed, essentially. And my story is one of survival, of dodging a lot of bullets, and of finally coming back to this. This is what the story is. I come back a half a century later. We're all now about 70 years old, and I meet my old Hitler Youth classmates, and I have a forgiveness experience with them, which changes my life. And so when I got home from that, back to the United States, I began giving a workshop called The Power of Forgiveness, which I gave around the country. And but the book also has what's in between those two dates, what happened during those 50 years, my vagabond years, my various experiences in the United States, which firmed up my what we call a mission to be about forgiveness and reconciliation, not only among people but among nations as well. It doesn't mean that I'm going to achieve that, but I work with about 20 men at a time on a regular basis as their mentor, and we talk about those things. And I've, you know, as I say, I've given workshops. I have been a guest speaker at Unitarian churches, summer replacement speaker. I've spoken in schools and religious organizations. And that's been my mission, and it motivates me. I'm now going to be 95 years old in a couple of weeks, and my life has been just fabulous. And one of my core beliefs is, sweet are the uses of adversity. In other words, the very fact that I went through all that trauma as a child made me who I am today. I wouldn't change a thing about it because I have more. Because of my own experiences, I have more compassion for others. I can walk in the shoes of African Americans. You know, when they hear my story, they accept me, you know, as they might not a professional anti-racist, you know. So it's been a blessing for me. And I am at this advanced age. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I have lots of friends. I've learned. I've caught the wave, as I call it.
I love that. Let me stop you there. I caught the wave. I want to tell some of your story because you said the 50 years in between and why so many people can relate to you is you are incredibly educated, but you started off where you worked as a track hand living in a boxcar on the Northern Pacific. You were a night shift person as a smelter man. Wow. What were those jobs like?
It was terrific. And I get in touch. It was sort of like a, what's the guy experience? The on the road, you know, famous guy. And his name escapes me. And by the way, you do know that I did win the honorable mention on the Eric Hoffer Book Award. Do you know that?
Yes, yes. Congratulations on that. So was it tough to do? I mean, it had to be tough to be a track hand on a boxcar. I mean, living on a boxcar and be a track hand.
From the stifling refugee experience in New York, basically, that's what it was. I volunteered for work. I worked on farms. I worked for the Mexican fruit pickers in California. I worked up at a Cliff Top Hotel in Yosemite. I did all kinds of stuff. I was hungry for experience. It's something that certain... I mean, Dust Buses USA has a little introductory portion about that hunger of young people for seeing the world. I've been to over 30 countries. I speak several languages. I just want to make the most of my life, you know, and I have done that. And now that I'm going to be 95 on August 7th, and it ain't over yet.
I love the whole idea, of course, of the power of forgiveness. As you said, that's the meat of the book and those workshops that you did, because how to forgive, incredible, that you go back, you reconcile with Hitler Youth classmates. What was that feeling like? What was the initial meeting like for you?
Hey, when I first went back, when the Berlin Wall came down, I took my son with me. We went to stay in Berlin, and then we went to my hometown. I was scared at the time. What would I find there 50 years later? Would they still be Jew-hating and so forth? But I decided to take a chance because I had such a need to, you know, rediscover my roots, so to speak. Wittenberg is a very beautiful little city, quite famous. And I wanted to see again. And because it's a medieval city, over 700 years old, it looked exactly as it had. So a few years after that... there was a class reunion And we were about 70 years old by then, my classmates and I. And the MC, one of my ex-classmates, had us all sort of talk a little bit about what had happened to us in our lives. And I mentioned to them what it felt like being alone in the schoolyard and having people say, you shouldn't even be here, and throwing pebbles at me, and really, especially the bully Nazi kids, really treating me like dirt. You know, it's like being... the first black to integrate the University of Mississippi, that same kind of experience. And then there was a class reunion, as I say, when we were about 7 years old. And I told them what it felt like to be in the schoolyard, isolated, nobody to speak to me at all. You know, nobody was with me. And I saw the room get very silent, and I saw a few, I mentioned in the book, a few tears in men's eyes. And then at the end of the evening, it was November, we were putting on our coats, and this guy came up to me, Horst Frum was his name, and he said, Richard, he was very embarrassed, I have something to say to you. I said, well, just tell me. He said, I was one of the ringleaders, and I want to ask for your forgiveness. And unexpectedly, we both started bawling and embracing. And it was like all that had happened, you know, the Holocaust, everything that happened during those intervening years just faded away. It made such an impression on me that I just said, I want to take that gift back and give it to others. And that's why I started my workshop, The Power of Forgiveness, because it was really, really powerful. And I always say that if nations could forgive each other, for all the things they've done, you know, all the wars, that's the one way we could maybe eventually have a war-free world. Ain't going to happen, I don't think. Certainly not in my lifetime. But, you know, that's just my dream of what it might be possible if only people would realize how stupidly we're acting. We're not getting it.
Right, yeah. No kidding. What an incredible story. The book Survivor's Odyssey, From Oppression to Reconciliation, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Richard Wiener, we don't want to give it all away. Get this book. It is powerful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm telling you, this story of Richard Wiener's is incredible. As I was mentioning there to him, and he talked about it just really briefly, he really goes in more depth about all those years in between, what he did. He lived on a boxcar. He knows what that's like. He worked a hard night shift as a smelterman. Didn't complain. Did what he had to do. And then went on to do graduate studies at Columbia, Princeton, NYU, Washington U, etc. Membership on the board of directors of the D.C. Bar Association. And he doesn't brag or boast about that, but it shows you that he really does know walking in the shoes of others and travel to over 30 countries, speaks 5 languages. But I think the really gist of the book, and he says it, is returning to his hometown after the fall of the Berlin Wall with his son and reconciling. Can you imagine that with the Hitler Youth classmates? Unbelievable. All right, that's where we wrap this show. Thanks for listening to this interview and the show. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.